Blog Talk Radio.
Producer tonight. Our host is Angelique. Co-host is Jamila from Girl Gone Geek. And by the way, Jamila, congrats on your third year blog anniversary today. Congrats. Yeah. And we have special guests Henry from Geek Soul Brother and Aaron from ProjectUncool.com. Welcome, guys. Appreciate you jumping in on the podcast with us. Before we get started, I just want to make a couple of announcements. If you haven't already, make sure to go to www.shethrivesnetwork.com. It's a new publishing network for today's new woman. Black Girl Nerds is featured on that network, so check it out. Bookmark it if you can, when you can. Also, we have a store, and this store helps fund these podcasts. So it's www.bgnstore.tumblr.com. It's summertime. You want to look cute in your little nerdy girl shirts. So check out when you get the opportunity. Tweet us those photographs of you in your shirts. And thank you to Lisa1660 for tweeting us your picture of your Afro Nerd Girl shirt. Thank you so much. So keep those pics coming, guys. And tonight's episode will actually replay once again on UrbanSoulRadio.fm. So if you missed tonight's podcast, you can check it out again on that site. You can always download our podcast via iTunes, as well as go to blogtalkradio.com/blackgirlnerds. All right, so tonight's episode is all things related to Doctor Who. You heard that Doctor Who intro on our podcast. We're also going to sneak in some Orphan Black and the Nerdist. So this whole podcast is being taken over by BBC America, and hopefully they can appreciate that. They actually follow us, by the way, on Twitter, so hopefully they'll get a chance to listen in on this podcast as well. So thank you, BBC America, for supporting Black Girl Nerds and following us on Twitter. So without further ado, we will go ahead and introduce our hosts. I'll be in the background for the most part through the Doctor Who portion of the podcast. And then when we jump on Orphan Black, I'll step in. So Angelique, if you want to go ahead and take over, you can introduce yourself. Jamila, you can introduce yourself. And then Henry and Aaron for your introductions. And please also give us your respective social networks as well as websites where people can contact you and see your content.
And me, don't forget about me.
And LaTanya. Oh, my gosh, and LaTanya.
Oh.
I'm so sorry. And LaTanya's on the podcast as well. She's co-hosting with us, so thank you. LaTanya's our loyal co-host each week. So, yes, LaTanya, you can actually go first. How about that?
Okay. Well, my blog is sprinklesandbooze.com, and I'm also a BGN contributor. And you can find me on Twitter at SprinklesNBooze, and Facebook, it's just SprinklesNBooze, facebook.com/SprinklesNBooze, and that's it. Go ahead, Angelique.
Awesome. so I'm Angelique Roche at Angelique Roche, and my website is AngeliqueRoche.com. It's really simple. Very consistent. I am a contributor for Black Girl Nerds, as well as I am a digital advocacy person, so I spend my life on the interwebs. I'm so excited about tonight. We are already getting questions, and someone just mentioned Red Dwarf, so that might have to pop up in the podcast.
I'm Jamila from Girl Gun Geek Blog, and you can find my blog at girlgungeekblog.com. Twitter is girl_gone_geek, and that's the same for Instagram. And Facebook is /girlgungeekblog.
Who's that? Am I next geek soul brother? I don't
know. Sure. It's you.
I know there were one or two. I'm geek soul brother. Glad to be on podcast, you guys. You can find me at geeksoulbrother.com, Facebook and Twitter, just, slash geek soul brother. I also do podcasts on Block Talk. It's Chilling with Geek Soul Brother, and I also do one at night with my five nerdy venoms. It's at TalkShoe, and you just need to do a search for Geek Soul Brother and TalkShoe. Or just go to geeksoulbrother.com. You can find all the links there.
And I am Aaron Hoover. You can find me and my blog at projectuncool.com, but I, too, live my life on the interwebs. Go into any social media place, be it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, Tumblr. Search for Uncool Aaron and you will find me. I host a weekly podcast called Confessions of a Movie Snob. I am part of the Nerdvana Network on there, lots of good stuff there. And also, quite separately, I also host a second podcast called The Truthful Comics Podcast, where we talk about comic books and all their wonderful goodness.
Awesome. I'm so excited that we were getting actually started with this tonight. We have such a great lineup, and thank you guys for introducing yourselves. So one of the things that we love to talk about with Doctor Who, and I'm looking at the Twitters right now, I would like to kind of throw the question out to everybody is, like, as we're watching the new Stephen Moffat Doctor Who's, there's a big contingency of people who either really, really love what's going on with Doctor Who or really hate what's happening with the series, particularly with the season finale. Spoilers for anyone who has not seen it. but I would love to kind of throw out, one, who is your favorite Doctor? Why? And how are you, like, are you a bigger fan of pre-2005, pre-9 Doctor Who, or do you like where the Doctor Who series is going? I want to start off with the boys. Get your thoughts on that.
Okay. Why don't you go, man? I want to follow somebody on this one because I have thoughts.
Well, okay. I didn't watch much of the old one, so I guess Tom Baker is my favorite of the old series because I didn't catch much of the other doctors of the old one. The new one, I do like the stories. I think they're really in depth. I gotta give Moffat a lot of credit, but he keeps it funny and he keeps it lighthearted at times. And I don't know, it reaches highs and lows of emotion, so that's really cool. My favorite of the new ones, maybe Tennant. Maybe Tennant's my favorite of the new ones. Matt Smith. I still have to catch up to a few episodes with him, but he's looking pretty good. And what's his name, the first one, Eccleston?
Yeah.
He had the most on his shoulders because he started out the new series, so he had to prove that this new series could actually work. So I give him a lot of credit as an actor and as the character, the sort of doctor that he portrayed really captured some audience, but I think Tennant's my favorite.
Definitely. How do you feel about of course they're doing the 50th anniversary, just to kind of slip this question in, and Eccleston is not coming back. They're actually replacing him. Like, how do you feel about that?
It's TV. I mean, it would be great if they could get as many doctors that are still alive as actors. But it's TV. I mean, people have projects and so forth. It would be nice, but I understand if they can't get all the doctors back.
Eccleston had a very famously awful time on the show. Did not get along with the producers, did not get along with the writers, did not like the direction that the show was going, things like that. I actually won a $20 bet with a friend of mine that he would not come back for the anniversary, so I got me $20 out of that. So that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool. I mean, it sucks, but I'm not surprised. I keep real about a lot of these things. I mean, yeah, it'd be great if you were there, but he isn't. So, you know, we just kind of got to deal with that.
Very cool.
I guess answering to this on my question, and I have seen all of it. I mean, if it's available, I've seen it, and there's like a lot of those – there's a lot of those ones that are incomplete where people have gone in and done animatics and, you know, I mean, Doctor Who fans are nothing if not thorough. And so, you know, there's animatics of the unfinished episodes. I've seen all that. I'm kind of two minds of the old show. It's great. It's old. It's classic sci-fi. You know, it has its place. I'm a big fan of Sylvester McCoy, but I'm also a big fan of Tom Baker. So, you know, we got both of those going on. I think that the new series is vastly superior. I mean, you know, and I also I should have prefaced this whole thing by saying that I will call myself a Doctor Who fan. I will not call myself a Whovian. I will not do that because I have some very controversial views on this show. But I have friends who would crucify me knowing I'm saying some of these things on the air. of the new series, by far, bar none, without a doubt, my favorite Doctor is Matt Smith, without a doubt. And my reason for that is he feels like Doctor Who to me. He feels like Doctor Who to me. He feels like the, you know, the 40 some odd years that we had preceding it. And I think David Tennant's great. I think he's good. He's a good doctor and everything. However, I do feel that his time on the show was kind of like that Americanizing of the show and just making it more action oriented and stuff like that. And I wanted it to be more cerebral. I wanted it to be more about the timey wimey wibbly wobbly stuff, as you said. And I would say that out of the three, Tennant is my least favorite because I didn't like a lot of his shows. And I think that people are unfair about Matt Smith.
Interesting. I have to agree with you on the Matt Smith thing. Matt Smith had to grow on me. But I think one of the things that's great about Matt Smith, and you guys can agree or disagree on this one, he's really grown as an actor, and he's really grown into the part of Doctor Who. And I think that's something we saw with Matt Smith we didn't see with David Tennant. Like, you really are seeing him, like, display and start going through. Like, he is an emotion-filled guy, and I think I remember a quote of him saying, he's like, he can't play Doctor Who forever because it is probably one of the most physically grueling parts he's ever done. And it's the truth. Like, he really, you can tell that he really genuinely from the first episode, you know, understood he started with a clean slate and has really grown into, a lack of better words, like really big shoes that he had to fill, being that new doctor and being as young as he was when he got the part.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say that about Matt Smith, about, you know, they were kind of, you know, iffy about him and stuff, and he ended up growing on him. For me, when he said fish fingers and custard, he became my doctor at that moment. I knew that we were doing something awesome. And I think I have an awesome red shirt that says Matt Smith is my doctor, ... deal with it. And I really feel that way about it. I like him a lot.
Do you follow, there's a Facebook fan page that goes, we wear Matt Smith now. Matt Smiths are cool.
Yeah, bow ties are cool. I agree.
So, Jamila, Latanya, did you want to chime in on your favorite doctor and why?
I don't have a favorite doctor yet. I'm still, like, really new to Doctor Who. I'm about, I think, 6 episodes into the reboot, like the 2005 reboot. But so I guess he's my favorite doctor. I don't know. I don't really have a favorite doctor yet.
You always remember your first doctor.
But yep. I tried to watch the original series, like a week ago, and I couldn't get into it. Like, I really like the remake a lot better, or the reboot, I should say, like a lot better. I don't know if – it's not even, like, about it being, like, a time thing because I had someone tell me, oh, well, it's old. I'm like, no, I like a lot of old stuff, quote-unquote, you know? Like, it has nothing to do with it. It just seems like a totally different feel. And I kind of like how silly it is, like, in comparison. Like, it's just, like, super silly and fun in my opinion. But, yeah, I don't really have a favorite doctor yet. I'll let you know.
I think I already know Jamila's favorite doctor, but
everybody knows who my favorite doctor is. My favorite doctor is David Tennant. I watched all of the new series, and I've seen a couple of classics, and I've really, really tried to get into it, and it's just not for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm too sleepy whenever I watch it. I've seen about three, and they weren't bad, but it didn't grab me to keep watching them. But
it's
I mean,
totally different feeling,
I have,
period.
Yeah. I have a goal to, like, watch a lot more of them, but I also have, like, a lot of stuff to watch in my queue, and Arrested Development just came out, so it'll have to wait. But, yeah, I love Tenet because, I mean, I like them all. I feel like they all, like, give the Doctor, like, I like their take on the Doctor. Tenet, of course, in, like, a very fangirl way, was, like, the dreamiest to me. But I also got to see him with a lot more companions and their relationship with him, my favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming this question will come up, but my favorite companion was Donna with him, and I just really liked their dynamic. And
ooh.
He Donna.
Donna.
Oh,
Catherine
Tate.
Yeah.
He would be dark. He would be serious and funny and romantic. So I really, and of course, like, brilliant. So I love David Tennant. Matthew is cool. It took a little bit for him to grow on me, but I feel like he really has, like, made the Doctor his own. And I think he does a really good job at making the Doctor, like, reminding you how old the Doctor is by the way he walks. Like, sometimes you just forget because he looks so young, but I feel like he has a really good old man walk to him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Am I allowed to pose a question?
Oh, hey, please do.
I want to hear everybody's thoughts on Rose. And, you know, just real quick, in a nutshell, I hate Rose.
I can tell, she's pretty awful.
Rose Tyler, and I not in reference to the drinks I had last night, shout out to the Wave Station. Shout out to BK and the best bar in the world. I got to play in a TARDIS last night. It was awesome. Rose Tyler, my personal opinion, had her time and her place, and they extended out her storyline too long. She was chav-tastic. She was very down to earth. I did say chav-tastic. She was very down to earth. But I think, you know, there have been so many better companions. Like, I enjoyed when they brought back Sarah Jane Smith and Rose Tyler. Like, Sarah Jane Smith is amazing, but, you know, I feel like in the scheme of things of companions, she has an amazing following. I think she had a very good place. She had a just like, you know, the Ninth Doctor, she had very big shoes to fill, being a companion and being kind of that just really, really everyday girl, but she's way low on the companions in my book, personally, and she got slightly annoying towards the end.
I have to say that and I do like David Tennant, absolutely, but I have to say the reason why he is my dead last is because he spends most of his time distracted by Rose, and it gets annoying to me. And so I just like, okay, I'm done with this. And then once he finally moves on, and you're like, okay, great, we got Donna Noble. Okay, great, we got Donna's dad. There's still that, you know, puppy dog, oh, I miss Rose. I'm like, oh, come on, you know, move on. You're 100 years old. You had another chick. I just get distracted by him. But I don't like that.
Agreed.
I'll come to her defense a little bit. She's not my favorite, but she might be my second favorite. Unlike Eccleston, because she was my first companion, I liked her a lot. I thought she was a lot of fun. And I guess I get it. Why wouldn't she be absolutely in love with the Doctor? Like, that's why everybody is. But I liked Rose. I like Rose way more than Martha, unfortunately. Martha.
Whoa.
I wanted Martha.
I think Martha's going to be the next topic. Hold that thought.
Oh,
we're
hold
gonna
on Martha. But,
we're
going to
definitely hash that out.
Yeah. I like Rose. I mean, I don't have, like, really solid, like, reasons as to why, but for me, like,
it's
she's my second favorite.
I'm sorry. I said that if it's a warm and fuzzy nostalgia thing, I get that.
Oh, no, not even. I mean, because Eccleston is, like, my least favorite, or he's, like, in last place, but he was my first Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
even the new companions, like, she kind of, she's number two. I think it also might be the episodes that she was in I really enjoyed as well. I thought she, I like Rose. I'll admit it. That's fine.
I can see that. I think a lot of the episodes she was in, like, explored a lot of the human condition. Like, it really went through, like, I think it was more real for people to say, how would I feel if I looked at the last day of the Earth's existence?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess I could see your point. I just think the storyline was too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they dragged her out for a long time.
Yeah,
then when she was gone, she wasn't gone.
So speaking, going in that direction, now that we've hashed out poor Rose Tyler, who is also coming back for the anniversary, how do we feel as we know that it's very few and far between, and it's one of the things I do like about the reboot is that there are a lot more people of color that are now kind of infusing into the show. Not enough, I would think, but there are a lot more. And, you know, everybody's got mixed emotions about Martha. And I would personally say, look, I understand that she is a woman of color, and I think that is great, and that's awesome. But she had googly eyes for this dude the entire time, and she was a doctor. Like, she's a woman who is in medical school, who is just as smart and almost equal a lot of times to any other companion, if not smarter. She saves the world more than once, and all she can think about is having these relationship issues and walking away from the doctor, not because she's not excited about traveling the world anymore, but she can't handle being with a guy she can never have.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's, for me, like, I was so disappointed in her. I was really excited. When I was watching the show, I think Matt Smith was already on, so I knew there was going to be, like, a black companion, and I had such high hopes for her, but she just was the rebound. She's the rebound companion. She was barely the rebound, like, romantically with the doctor because he didn't care about her in that way, and I feel like she was just, for the whole time she was a companion, stuck on the fact that, oh, woe is me, and the doctor doesn't like me. Get over it. Like, is that, and then it just made me upset because I'm like, is that why you're his companion? Because you like him in a romantic way. And other than that, I just didn't think she was that interesting. I don't think she brought anything really different or unique, which is why the fact that she was just the rebound stood out to me so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sound, from what you guys are saying, it sounds interesting. Like, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get there. Like, it sounds interesting. Like, just hearing about it, it sounds like something that's interesting.
It's disappointing, though. You know, especially from the point of view of not being a Rose Tyler fan, because, you know, she does overstay her to us. She does feel like she overstays her welcome, and she's finally gone, and you're like, yes, you know, we're going to see somebody else. And then when we get somebody else, she's Dr. Rose Tyler, but not as interesting as Rose, and Rose isn't interesting at all. You know, I mean, like, I definitely like Rose less, but I think that Martha was a bigger disappointment.
Well, I think that's why I ended up liking Catherine Tate. I ended up liking the Dr. Donna better because she was so different from Rose and from Martha. Like, she was like, no, I am not with that little skinny toothpick of a man. Like, I'm here to enjoy myself, and I am his equal. And I think that was, you know, I think that's one of the draws that really did the fan base for Catherine Tate. That, and she's utterly hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have anybody waiting on the phone right now? Jamie?
We do. We surely do. We've got several callers, so glad you brought that up. I'm going to go ahead and bring in our first caller that's been waiting a while. Area code 573. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What is your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Paul. I'm calling from Columbia, Missouri. I'm better known as Kitty Cat underscore Kiki's Gag Rider.
Yay!
Awesome.
I'm so excited you're on.
Yes, I'm excited I'm on too because I've been listening to your conversation and I'm like, geez, kids, they don't know any better.
Well, let me
explain what I'm saying.
Classic Doctor Who, so I will give you that.
Well, I've been watching Doctor Who since I was 15 years old, and I turned on the TV on a Saturday night back in 1979. I mean, Friday night. It was a PBS station, and I saw a British sci-fi show with a crazy man with a floppy hat and a extremely long scarf. Hanging out with hanging out with a very spunky reporter, a.k.a. Sarah Jane Smith, chasing after mummies. Yes. And I've been listening to a conversation. I would like to interject some of my own choices for companions and what and favorite doctors and whatnot. And also bring up something that when I mentioned the one doctor, actor, usually will start an argument between any Whovians or friends of doctors or whatever you want to call yourself. As far as choices for my favorite doctor, I can't choose.
It's hard.
Because they all have different aspects that I like and they all have different aspects I don't like. And it's like trying to choose between your favorite flavors of cheesecake. You just can't do it.
That's true. I love cheesecake.
Like, for instance, William Hartnell, he reminds me of the high school or college teacher that you really didn't want to get stuck with.
Yes.
But you knew he was going to learn something from him. And Patrick Troughton reminded me of the next door neighbor guy who would have you come over and he would give you milk and cookies and talk about stuff that he did when he wasn't a kid. And then right in the middle of a conversation, he'd go run outside and yell, "Damn you kids, get off my lawn!"
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the skills of Doctor Who is that every single one of the doctors, and I think they really highlighted that really well in the reboot when he was about to regenerate. He's like, it's going to be the same person, but I'm going to be different. I might be funny. I might have big teeth. I might, or maybe one day he'll get cancer if he gets his wish. But, you know, the greatest thing about the show is that everybody can, every single time there's a reboot of the doctor, it is a completely different feel to that
actor person.
Yeah, and the actor really gets an opportunity to create his own. And I think that's the thing, like, Tom Baker was also my first doctor. I started watching BBC when I was really small on PBS, just like you. I watched that and Red Dwarf. And, you know, it's definitely a different feel. Really, really different. I mean, it's kind of educational stuff.
I have a question that I just thought of, like, while I was listening. I understand there's different doctors, but why? Like, why?
Let me explain that.
Okay.
When the first doctor, William Hartnell, was very sick, he was in his 70s when he played the role, and he was very ill. And they had to leave the role because he just couldn't do it anymore. So how do you replace the actor? You just can't do it, Darren Stevens, and then one day have a new actor playing Doctor Who show up. So they had to do something. So they came up with the idea of regeneration.
Oh.
Just have him physically, because he's an alien, have him physically change into another person.
Okay.
That's how his species does it.
Okay.
And
no, I'm going to say something about that. That was
brilliant.
The most genius mistake in writing. That that they could have ever done. And I don't think that they've done that many times on TV where they've thought about, let's change the actor, keep the character the same. But, you know, and they had to struggle with the actor.
It was brilliant,
but it was almost a mistake. It was like, like the gentleman just said, where are we going to do? What are we going to do? All of a sudden, they came up with that idea. Who would have known that would have been
the
foundation?
That is really brilliant, honestly. That's genius.
Now, okay. Yeah, and like I said, that one has been stuck any since, and no other show in television can get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well,
they tried doing something, but it doesn't work. Now, as far as companions are concerned, my favorite companion was K-9.
Oh, K-9.
He was the smartest, he was the most courageous of all the companions, and he wasn't afraid to give the doctor some lip.
Oh, it's a guy?
Yeah, you know what? K-9 gave of his life so many times.
Oh, I thought it was a woman.
Basically.
I was like, wow.
So for those who don't know, K-9 is a robotic dog, just to make it really simple for everyone. He's much more than that, but yes.
And
well,
probably he was highly intelligent and actually beat the doctor playing chess. So.
Yes. So thank you so much for calling in. I know we have like 5 or 6.
Before I hang up, I want to bring up one question.
Okay.
How did you feel about Peter Cushing's Doctor Who movies? I'll let you guys mull on that for a while, and you all have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye.
He was a lively one. Very lively.
Very funny.
Very excited.
Most
you want more of that?
Like,
we're excited.
You have to get excited
in.
When you're talking about Tom Baker. I'm sorry. Man has a ball of energy with a scarf.
Now Kitty Cat has to call it next. You're obligated to call in next, girl. all right, we have another caller waiting, so I'll go ahead and bring them on. Area code 248. Caller, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from? Caller, you're on the air.
Guess they're not.
Oh,
they gave up.
I guess so. They've been waiting a while. Sorry, guys. Area code 901, you're on the call with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, everyone. My name is Lee, also on Twitter as Uncredited Rewrite.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm calling to defend Martha Jones.
Yeah,
somebody had to.
Defender, brother, defender.
One earlier today, you were at a Twitter battle with someone about Martha. So you've been going at this all day.
Absolutely.
I also want to talk to you before you get off the phone about why you think the doctor does not love River Song. But please, go. Put it on.
Oh, I saw that tweet.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I saw, like, I think that Martha obviously was the rebound companion, which I think I stated on Twitter several times. And it's obvious. But what's great about Martha is that even though she did fall in love with the doctor, it was important for her. There was like a growth in Martha Jones. She fell in love with the doctor, but in the end, it was her strength and her ability to believe in the doctor that was able to save the world when she did. And I also think that it was important for David Tennant's doctor to deal with that, to have that rebound companion in Martha Jones, because it allowed us to see that, especially for people that were new to the show, that started with Christopher Eccleston and went with David Tennant and now with Matt Smith, to see that this is a guy that can live forever, basically, and will have people fall in love with him. And I do believe that Rose Tyler fell in love with him, and I do believe that David Tennant's character fell in love with Rose Tyler, and to move on from that. And I think that it was important for Martha Jones to really grow as a character, because that's what I saw. I didn't see – I will admit that the one flaw, I think, in the Martha Jones companion was that she fell in love with the doctor too quickly. That, I think, we can't argue with. And that was probably one of the things that I couldn't stand about it. But I think that her, especially towards the end, after she saves the world and not a lot of people remember, I think that the strength of her to walk away from the doctor was very telling, because obviously Rose wanted to stay with him forever, and obviously Donna wanted to stay with him forever. But it takes a lot for this man, this, you know, as River Song said, this impossible man, for someone to walk away from him. So I think that that's what really kind of endeared me to Martha, and that what really made her one of the better companions. Not the best companion. I think that Donna is probably the best companion in the reboot of the series. But it takes a lot of strength to leave someone like that. And I think that's what's missing a lot for a lot of people that didn't like the Martha Jones character. In regards to falling in love with the doctor, I definitely think that the doctor was in love with Rose Tyler. I think, you know, in that series, especially towards the end of the second part of the series with David Tennant, when he first was introduced as the 10th Doctor, it's so clear that he was in love with her. Especially towards the end where he said, you know, I said Rose Tyler and then it fades out. It's clear that he was going to say, I love you. And it's without a doubt that he loves her. I mean, if he didn't love her, then what happened towards the end with the Donna Noble companion wouldn't have happened. There wouldn't have been two doctors, and there wouldn't have been a situation where a doctor has the one heart, and I'm giving away a ton of spoilers, I'm sorry, for people that haven't seen it. But,
no,
you know,
okay.
That wouldn't happen if he was not in love with Rose Tyler, and if Rose Tyler was not in love with him. So there's a lot of shade thrown at Martha Jones, and some of it is justified, but I think that more so it's, she's really a great companion for him because of her growth, not so much of the doctor's growth. It was her growth that I think a lot of people should have been focused on.
So we had a comment that came up earlier, and just kind of go on that same Martha, and I will make a caveat. I see a difference between the Martha that was on Doctor Who and the Martha that appeared on Torchwood, and not to open up a can of worms with Torchwood, but do you feel like there is a difference because she walked away from the doctor and that there was a chance for her to become a better character in Torchwood, or do you think that just has nothing to do with it and you just walk away and say, you know, the Martha we knew in the Doctor Who is the Martha that is, period?
Well, I think it was a chance for her to really grow. You know, Torchwood was a darker show, so I think that it was a something for that character to really grow and to be in that universe, in the Torchwood universe, to show that being with the Doctor not only gave her a lot of compassion for him, but with a lot of the companions, it gave her a lot of strength. And if you haven't really seen Torchwood, especially the episodes with Martha Jones, you really have to watch it because it's a completely different character.
Yeah.
And again, I think there is a lot of growth in that character because of her time on Torchwood. And I don't know exactly what she was going to do or if she didn't want to stay in that universe and wanted to move on and grow, but I think that there was a lot of big plans for Martha if she had decided to stay on Torchwood. And one more really quick thing I think was important was I think the episode with Donna Noble when she came back and it was Donna and Martha, where Martha told the doctor that she was engaged, and we find out that she was engaged to Mickey, which I thought was fantastic. But
that was great.
I think that it was important for her to tell the doctor that, you know, because you saw a little bit of concern on his face. It wasn't love. He was not in love with Martha. I will totally agree with that. But it was some kind of concern. It was like, people can kind of move on from me. And I don't think that a lot of people realize that. You know, Martha said, you know, I'm engaged. And the doctor was like, I think that's great. But there was a little bit of a pause when he said that. Because, again, I think that, and I don't know about of the other companions because I really haven't seen any of the other shows, but a lot of the other companions kind of just left, but and for whatever reason. But Martha chose to leave. And that was a bit, it was like rejection. It was like, you know, she said, if I stay with you for someone that doesn't care about me, then I'm going to be pining for you, so I have to move on. And that was a big deal for the doctor, I think. So when she was able to say, you know, I have fully moved on, and by fully moving on, I fell in love with someone else that's not you, that's a human that I can grow old with, that, yes, you know, it's going to be an adventure because it was Mickey, but, you know, can grow old with me, then that is a, a sense of strength that I don't think that the doctor had ever experienced before.
It wasn't quite jealousy, but it was like in the doctor, it was like, oh, I guess that means we can't play anymore or something to that effect.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like kind of like, I'm kind of losing a friend.
Yeah, I'll even take it further. I think of it, and this is terrible how I'm going to say this, but I think of it like as a guy that can go back to like ex-girlfriends and be like, oh, I can get her anytime. I think it was like that.
Right.
I think it was like maybe, you know, the doctor, because let's not forget, the doctor is that arrogant. You know, one of the things that he would say, especially during the David Tennant era, was time can be rewritten. So I think it was one of those things where it was like, you know, if I want to, I can go back and get Martha Jones. I can go back and get Rose Tyler, even though she's in another parallel universe, you know. Right. And once he lost that, I think that kind of, like, changed the direction of the character. And I think that's why it was important with Donna Noble, you know, throughout that series where it was just like, okay, you know, I don't want, he even said it, you know, I don't want a companion. I want a mate. I want a friend. And when they were interacting and when that episode happened where she said that she, you know, got a fiancé, that was like the nail in the coffin. It was like, wow, you know, I am this semi-immortal person, but people can move on from me. And that, you know, for a Time Lord, I think that kind of humanized
it. Totally agree. It seems like the Twitters are going off on the River Song comment, and I want to give everybody a chance, and I know we got some more callers on the line, but there was a question asked today if Doctor Who really loved River Song, and there are some people who agree and who disagree, and I'd love to get people's opinions of really what was going on in that situation.
Who's going first?
Because, like, everybody just got real quiet and it's like a touch situation. Like, I don't know.
Okay, I guess I'll start. I mean, I never, this is the first time I heard, I mean, I know a lot of people don't like River Song. I like her. But it's the first time I heard that people think that the doctor didn't love her. I think so. There's nothing that told me that he didn't. I think what is kind of complicated in the doctor's life is that we see her out of, like, sequence. So it's hard for us to, when we meet her, she dies. I mean, this whole podcast is about spoilers, so I don't need to say that. She's dying, and she's been, like, she's loved the doctor. She's spent so much time with him, years. And there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes and, like, between episodes of time that they have spent together. So it's also, I feel like David Tennant can show or express his love a lot easier than Matt Smith. And I think that has to do with the doctors and what they all, like, what Tennant experienced when he was, like, in love with Rose. And so I think that's why 11 kind of seems more childish and, like, you know, when it comes to love, but definitely does love River. It's an interesting relationship, to say the least, but there's nothing that tells me that he doesn't.
Anybody else want to chime in on that who doesn't think that the Doctor loves River?
I do not think that the Doctor loves River. And I think I was probably the one that kind of started that. I don't think he does because she's a mystery. And I think that was kind of the thing with kind of the switch, and I think it made it a little bit confusing for from moving from David Tennant to Matt Smith. I would argue that even though for a couple of episodes David Tennant, you know, saw River Song and she was a mystery, and maybe there was something about her that was compelling, I don't know if it was love or not, but when it goes into the next season with Matt Smith, there was this distrust because she is such a mystery. And I credit Moffat and Russell T. Davies for creating that character. River Song is probably one of the greatest characters I've ever seen on film or on television because of that mystery and because of what she represents. But moving to the Matt Smith era, it just never really kind of resonated with me because it was towards a bigger picture. I think it was more acceptance than it was love, especially in the end of that season where we find out that it was River Song that shot the older Doctor and started that whole adventure. It was a thing where it was like, it's okay if you do this. It's okay. I understand. It wasn't love. I never felt any type of love between the two characters, but like River Song was so mischievous, and it was like she was more playful than most of the Doctors, and she even kind of upstaged the Doctor in some of the seasons with Matt Smith because we kind of felt like we knew a little bit about her, but she wasn't letting on, and it kind of put us in the place of the Matt Smith Doctor. And
yeah,
even though we found out that she ended up being the daughter of Amy and Rory, I still never really felt the love there. And yes, she told, and I think a lot of people are saying that, well, you know, the Matt Smith Doctor told River Song his name, i.e. that equals love. I don't think so. I think that was still just a part of that season's trick to make sure that the Doctor doesn't die. It never really felt, the love never really felt as strong to me as with Rose Tyler.
Yeah,
I think
it's
more
something.
Rose though too.
Yeah, well, I think it's something, and we're probably gonna have to pull this over into the Twitterverse because we got another couple of callers on the line. But I'm so excited you called in because this is like a really great perspective, and the Twitterverse is like buzzing over everything that just happened on the phone. Spirit animals and all. So thank you so much for calling in. And I definitely want to pull this back into the chat room because I know the chat room is buzzing right now too. And onto the Twitterverse. So, oh, Jack Harkness. Oh, that's a whole other conversation.
Jack Harkness.
Oh my God,
right?
Thank you, Lee, for calling in. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, we've got 404 area code on the line. You're on the call with Black Girl Nerds. Oh, look like they dropped off. All right.
No, that's I'm okay. Here. I'm here.
Oh, you're here.
No,
oh, okay. There
yeah.
You are. Okay, you're on the air.
I was like, what?
I know, I'm so sorry because you've been waiting forever.
No problem. I've been listening, so it's great. Hi, I'm Sabia. I'm from SabiaCruiser.com. I'm one of the crazy scandal bloggers, but I saw the tweet about the Doctor Who podcast, and I was like, OMG, I have to be here. So, I'm like just so disjointed now. I went to see Star Trek today, and I saw Mickey at Star Trek.
Yes.
Like, all of my, everything's coming
oh my
together.
God, right?
Yeah.
It was like everything for me when he was on the screen. It was everything.
I was like, there's no Game of Thrones last night. Like, I'm totally just overwhelmed with stuff. I just need to, like, gather all of my things together. I want a TARDIS and a direwolf, and it's very confusing sometimes. So quickly with the whole River Song thing, because it's like every conversation that's come up, I'm like, wait, oh, my gosh. I guess the thing with River with me is it's almost like when you meet a couple that either used to be together or they're divorced or whatever, and you meet them and you're like, God, were they ever a couple? Like, how did they get, you know? And that's what that feels like to me. I just never felt that love was current. That whenever their time, I know they're moving backwards in time with each other, but it just felt like maybe they loved each other, but I don't see it now. And so I guess that's kind of where I always landed with it, that it's one of those past loves kind of thing. So I just never felt the love was current.
I think there's a lot missing in the storyline for them, which is really weird because, I mean, does anyone else, I'm sure you feel like there's just stories you missed. Like, there are still gaping holes in the story of River Song and the Doctor.
Yeah, you can't really agree
like there are a lot
to them because you never saw them.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, do you feel like it would be a great thing for us to go back and actually see them, or do you feel like River Song's time is done?
I'm good. I think I'm good with River. That was fine. And the whole, and I'm sort of a newbie. I tried to watch Eccleston Doctor, and I started, and I saw a couple of those. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. But I was just not really engaged. And I'm not a huge fan of Billy Piper, so I was already kind of turned off, but I was trying to hang in there. And then I came back and actually started watching the Matt Smith Doctor, and I'm like, oh, I love this. This guy's insane. I think this is perfect. And he was a little wobbly at first, but I think he's grown into it, and I think he and Karen Gillian had a great sort of rapport, and I think he settled down some of the mania into something that's a little bit more palatable now, instead of just being completely everywhere. But so I think, you know, kind of dance with the one who brung you. So I'm pretty much a Matt Smith kind of Doctor fan. I like the David Tennant ones a lot. The whole Martha and Martha and Rose thing. I do think Martha was, as I was perfectly named, she is the rebound companion, and I just don't know if she had much of a chance to be, I think, what she could have been. So it's sad because I think Martha could have been a great companion, she had a lot of things that I really liked about her, and I think she was kind of badass. So just kind of disappointing to see how they probably missed out on some things there. And then the whole thing when they went back to 1914 and with the nurse, and I'm like, so you're on the rebound from Rose, but you fall in love with this nurse out of nowhere. It was all just very...
That literally was one of my absolutely least favorite episode series of that, like, literally my least favorite episodes ever.
Yep, agreed.
If anybody doesn't know, she's talking about Family of the Blood.
Oh, I hated that one. I think I like it because the doctor wasn't the doctor.
Yeah,
I with like that. It made me uncomfortable. I was like, I don't like this. I want the doctor back.
And all the racial issues, too, kind of threw me off. Because, I mean, it was good that they tried to address them because of the time they were in, but it just made it even more uncomfortable for me watching Martha.
Exactly.
And, you know, people telling her place and that sort of thing.
Like, I'm glad they brought it up because I feel like, I mean, if they're going through time, these issues are going to come up because she's black. But I don't know. That did not need to be. It was a two-parter, right? I thought it dragged.
Yeah.
It
was a two-parter.
And I felt like they could... Yeah, I don't know. I wish they addressed it in, I don't know, a different way, or maybe a better episode. But I totally agree. I didn't like that one at all.
Not a fan.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Like, it's hard for people to, like, come up and really, like, say against any of the companions or, you know, the reality of it, because I think everybody wants to love River Song. Like, everybody wants to love her that I know, obviously not on this phone. Not on the podcast tonight, but yeah, no, it's amazing.
Awesome. But yeah, I've loved the show. I've loved catching up with it. I'm glad. I'm actually almost glad that I am sort of on the new end of it because I think I'm not necessarily quite as caught up in some of the. Well, this is what. You know, how the series is supposed to work, and this is who the doctor's supposed to be. I'm still trying to grow into into our new companion.
Me too.
I loved Amy Pond. I loved Rory. I thought that was just a very interesting dynamic. And I loved the episode she was in before she became the companion officially, but I don't know. I'm still growing. I'm still trying to get used to her a little bit.
As soon as you watch the shows like the second or the third time, then you'll it gives a different perspective. At least that's just me.
Agreed. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this, and I love talking about Doctor Who. So it's always fun.
Awesome. Do we have anybody else on the line, James?
We do. Thanks, Sabia, for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, we got a couple more callers, so I'll go ahead and bring in the next one, area code 908. Caller, you're on the line with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
My name is John, and I'm disgusted.
Oh, John, mine is sorry, too.
Oh, no.
What do you got to say?
What's going on?
Oh, no. I have that bad a reputation already.
Is it John Minus?
Well, no, I just can't believe what I'm hearing. Like, the family of blood was about... All right. You know, I think that I haven't watched Doctor Who with enough women because my whole take on a lot of this stuff is different. Like, I thought the family of blood episodes were cool because they finally brought up the fact that that time travel isn't fun for black people. Like, when... Like, when Martha told that lady, like, she could read and the doctor, like, she was like, she was a witch. And I thought that was hilarious. But,
that's the best quote ever.
Oh, man. I hear what you're saying, but I still don't understand. He said Blackamoor lady in the episode with Shakespeare. So yes, but wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But what I actually wanted to say was, like, one of the things we've talked a lot about, like, characters, but in the tweets we've been going back and forth about the writers, I am a huge Russell T. Davies fan.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why everything got really uneven is because he left. Like, all of my favorite episodes are his. My favorite episode of any of the new seven seasons is Midnight. It was one where it was like a Twilight Zone episode.
That was amazing.
It was so creepy. It was amazing. And I missed that. There was a lot of creepiness and, like, a little bit of scariness to his episodes, and I missed that. Like, Moffat is too ham-handed and goofy, and his pacing is off. The one good thing he did was the Angels, and even he beat that into the ground.
Did Moffat do the Angels?
That's what somebody said. I think he did.
I think he wrote it, but it was during RTD's era. Just to...
Right.
But...
And, like, the end of time, I feel like if Moffat had sole control over the Master, he would have been not nearly as creepy and scary. So what do you guys think, Moffat or Davies?
That's a good question. Oh, it's so tough. I hate writing the sentence. But I feel like they have their strengths. RTD is what got me into Who, and I feel like RTD does a really good job on, like, the emotional aspects of the Doctor and Doctor Who. Probably cry the most watching his era, but also, like, I cry all the time in Doctor Who. I think that Moffat is good when he's kept to, like, single episodes. I mean, I love him in Sherlock. I think he's brilliant. But, like, you know, the Silence, I think, is a really cool concept. And those two episodes in the beginning of that series, the astronaut one, was really good. And, of course, the Weeping Angels. But when it comes to bigger things, like a whole, you know, the crack in the wall stuff, I think it gets a little too complicated, especially when I think that I remember that kids watch the show, too, and I'm like, I don't really understand half of this or how it works, and I don't know how kids are either. I think he breaks rules a lot, which is really annoying to me. Like, you can't say this thing, you know, in this episode, and then a season later you're breaking this, like, time paradox rule. That annoys me. But I think RTD did really good as far as, like, the emotional stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel. I think, like, Moffat made the Daleks goofy. You know how hard that is?
Oh, I hated that, yeah.
The scariest thing in fiction to me. because they feel one emotion. They're very emotional, but they only feel hate. How do you mess that up?
They look like, what is it, Mini Coopers when they came out again? Everybody was talking about them. But RTD has his fair share of goofy, campy things, too. I mean, what was it, the Slovenes? Were kind of ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it's something true. I think, like, Cybermen and Daleks should never be goofy. They should just be scary. Those are the things, like, the show is built on the back of being afraid of Daleks. That's the one thing he loses his mind over. He hates. He's literally a man of love, but he hates one thing. He hates Daleks. That should be, you can't mess with that. That's a pillar of the show from the beginning. So there's other things, but I really just, I think Moffat tries to be like Davies. I think that's what he's really doing.
I don't think he tries to. I feel like he tries to make it a little too complicated. But I mean, I love like a lot of Moffat too. So I'm not like a Moffat hater or a RTD hater. I think they both do good and both have a lot of issues.
I would have to agree. Like, I love both of them, but I'd have to say I like the complicated stuff. Like, that's the thing that really hooked me in, is that I literally had to go back and watch episodes 2 or 3 times to find things that I missed. And I don't know if anybody else agrees. I think that was kind of the draw for bringing me into the show again, you know, after 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah, I like what he did with River. I mean, Moffat's responsible for, like, the whole River story. And that was really complicated and was done well. So I think when it's also like pacing too, and sitting in the complicated bit.
Pacing.
Where...
Why aren't we talking about directors? This word pacing keeps coming up. Oh, the pacing, Moffat, and you know, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the series director, with the episode directors. I mean, you can, yeah, absolutely. It could be.
Well,
it could be written a little bit more cohesively.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I wanted
to. Directors as well.
I mean, that was it for me. Like, I feel like with the crack in the wall stuff, like, we would get a regular episode, and then at the end they throw a crack, and that was it, and we wouldn't see it again for maybe 2 episodes, and we just get a crack. Like, it wasn't as weaved in as it should be, and I think that has to do with the writing. But, I mean, Moffat did Sherlock, and that's brilliant and almost
yeah,
perfect
Sherlock
in my eyes. So I know he's a fully capable writer.
Can I just ask you a question real quick? There's a couple of folks on Twitter, and someone just tweeted to me about we should start a campaign for a black doctor. What do you guys think about the fact
there that... There have been murmurs.
Do you think there should be a doctor of color?
Yeah, and it should be me.
Idris Elba.
Absolutely, and it needs to be Elba.
John Minus for the next
doctor. I don't want to see Elba as a doctor.
Why? But, I want him.
Oh, my God. I don't even know if I can handle that. I can't even deal with Elba acting silly.
If you really
yeah,
want to
Elba
act
silly.
You make a point. Elba is not going to be as – I don't think he'll be as good
no,
as
no, no. He would
comedy.
Be darker. He would be a lot darker.
What about Mo Rap?
And romantic, I mean, obviously.
What about Mos Def? He was a really good Ford prefect, and he was kind of doctorish in The Hitchhiker's Guide.
Really? I don't know about American, wow. Like, American Seriously? Doctors, though.
I don't know if I'm ready for an American doctor.
You are
yeah.
ready, and that guy, that doctor's name is John Lang. I should be
ready.
All right, I'm going to go see that whole
ridiculous.
Caller.
Thanks, John, for calling him.
All right, bye.
So we got one more caller on the line, and then after we get to our next caller, we're going to move on to our other show topics, which is going to be Orphan Black and The Nerdist. So 931 is the area code. Caller, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
This is Renee.
Hey, Renee. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey.
I feel really funny. I'm like, is that my area code? Okay. yeah, house phone is definitely a new thing, right? Landlines. No, yeah, I was going to jump on with the whole Rose and Donna thing and was he in love with Rose and who's the best doctor, but we're kind of over all that right now. So I really think that having a doctor of color would be groundbreaking and would really show whether or not they have a strong fan base with the whole Whovians following or not, whether or not they can keep people watching the show if they do have a doctor of color. My only issue with that would be what kind of pandering they would do, like how much time travel the doctor would do to, we know he goes to Earth a lot, so how much 18th century and prior time travel he would do and what kind of issues he would be dealing with at that time. Because it's like, you know, are you going to have a doctor that's African-American or black that, you know, the actor, and then send him back to America during the time?
Nope.
Or they're going
could
to
he possibly,
actually
could
just
he possibly
be a regular
go
doctor that goes and just space travels without having
yeah,
things
would be
there,
a lot
or whether or not we have to address those issues in a show like this. Like, could he just be an actor of color and just be the doctor? So it's like we have to understand that it's a no-win situation, because if he doesn't address those issues, people will be mad, like, well, why didn't he go back? Because it's
can I just jump in and ask,
not going to be a good time.
Could it be that he can jump into, you know, the 19th century during slavery time and be, you know, a free black man, and that he's maybe doing some sort of, you know, conduction with the Underground Railroad and helping to free slaves and having a storyline centered around that where he doesn't necessarily have to play the role of a slave?
With it being done from the BBC's perspective,
yeah.
How much do they really know about that, with them having all their, you know, their whole history with building
empires? It would
be
totally different.
It's kind of touchy.
Well,
because when they had Martha on the show, they had some issues with it. So it's like they might be better off, and they probably couldn't even cast an Indian character because of the British history with India. So it's like they might go with someone that's of a – because, I mean, even with this season, they picked – two children that, maybe I'm wrong, but they look like they could have been children of a biracial background that were Clara's, you know, that she was babysitting or responsible for. So it's like they weren't even going full out, you know, we're just going to try to make this so everybody's comfortable type of situation with these children being cast in that role. So it's like it's still very touchy what they would do, because it's like if they don't address it, then it's an issue. If they address it the wrong way, it's an even bigger issue. So it's like, can they go with an Asian actor? Can they go with someone of a, you know, background that's Hispanic? You know, so it's almost easier for them to not touch on it because there's so many issues involved in it. But it would do so much for their fan base that, you know, are of, that, you know, look at the podcast tonight, like, lots of people of color watch the show, but what would it do to the people that are not people of color? Because we've all had these discussions on other podcasts, and we've seen the backlash from, you know, casting Johnny Storm as a black man. So it's like, these are all issues that are coming up, and it's like, how do you even tackle it as a movie house or the production company in order to be like, you know, we're just trying to entertain people and trying to educate people at the same time could be a real problematic situation. So it's like, I kind of feel their pain in a way, because it's like, shoot, what do you do?
Right.
Yeah. I think you make a really good point. There's a lot of complexities, and I think unfortunately, it would be too difficult for a lot of the base to...
Like, I would hate for them to do it, and then we lose the whole show, bottom line.
Exactly.
I would hate that. It's like, you know, I love the show, but if it's done the wrong way, it's going to piss all of us off. Or if they do it, like,
anyway,
a good way, they'll still lose, like, a big fan base, and then they won't have the funding to do it. So then it's like everybody loses again. So it's like,
you know, it would be great to see, but it's just like the world we live in. I don't know if it can really be done. Like, they almost need to do a spinoff show, because they tried it with Torchwood with Omar Epps, but that was just so touch and go that I don't, that, what was that, like 13 episodes only or 7 episodes, that didn't make it. So it's like, but Luther was,
well,
a
it was
hit,
supposed
so
to be that one season.
It was,
it,
right,
it, it
they
was
only wrote it for
end.
That, so, you know.
Right.
Yeah, definitely, and I want to pose another question out there. Just, you know, this came up on Twitter as well. You know, how do you guys feel about there being a female doctor?
I hate
down.
That idea.
As long as
I'm
she's not overly emotional, I'm good.
No.
They always try to do that typecasting.
No, that doesn't work. The doctor's male.
No, that's not true. That's not true. There's actually an episode where it is stated that there was a Time Lord that was regenerated as a woman. It has actually been in the storyline as being possible.
But it was a big deal. It was noteworthy. It doesn't happen all the time. So if it
that
happened,
doesn't mean
it
can't happen. That just means it doesn't happen all the time.
And that's what I'm saying, is if you do it that way, I think that's far more pandering to make him a black person. I really do. I mean
really?
At what point? Yeah, I do. I do
what?
Think making it a, yes, I do.
I don't agree. I think a female doctor would play the role very nicely. I think an actress could play a female doctor just as
I'm not
interestingly.
I'm not competently.
Of course, it could be done competently. I'm talking about a female doctor would be so interesting, not just because she's a woman, but because she would have that doctor flavor with the rushing around and the figuring out everything at once. And, you know, that would be an interesting story.
I'm going to have to say no to the female doctor. I don't know if you'll be mad at me for that, but for me, the doctor is male. I like him, and I like that dynamic as male. What I would like to see, though, is like a female Time Lord somehow. Somehow
that's
she
cool.
gets out of, I don't know, the Time War. I think that would be interesting, and I really want to see the doctor interact with another Time Lord and like a female Time Lord. But I am going to stick with the male doctor, I think.
You too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't want to see a female Time Lord. I'm saying far from that. But the Doctor as a woman, I don't see it. I mean, I don't even know that I would see it as pandering. I'm just saying that I think that the masses would. I do think the masses. Do you remember 2 years ago when they were talking about doing a Doctor Who movie with Johnny Depp, and everybody just flipped the hell out because they were going to get an American as a Doctor? Do you remember that? People are really precious about these things. And I think that making a female doctor, people would get really angry about it. For me, it would just depend on, you know, the story and the actress and the writing and, you know, what they do about it. But, you know, I do think that it would be a really touchy subject, but I think it would probably be easiest and best to just bring in a female Time Lord.
You don't think there'd be some Queen of England feeling about that with a female doctor? Like they would appreciate it because they have a queen?
No, I don't.
You know, they have those symbols.
I don't think that because I'm not going to say, I don't want to put fortunately or unfortunately on here, but it's turning out to where a large portion of Doctor Who fans are now American. A lot of them are English, but there's a huge American fan base, and if America is known for one thing, it's about bitching about everything. And I do not think that they would like that. I do not think they would like it. You know, to me, it just all depends on the... To me, it all depends on the execution of it. I'm not against the idea. I'm not against the idea of it, but I am against, you know, what I would have to listen to if it happened. You know, I just kind of want Doctor Who to happen, and I don't want there to be controversy.
Yeah,
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
Who's down for Peter Dinklage to get the Doctor?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm on it. I'll jump on the social media train. I love Peter Dinklage. I would love to see him in anything. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I got way too excited about that, didn't I?
it was amazing. I want to see Richard Ayoade as the next Doctor, actually. That's who I want to see.
He's awesome. I love him. Yeah,
yeah, well, that'd be amazing.
From the IT crowd?
Yeah,
oh,
from the IT crowd.
He's
yeah.
really hot.
Boss.
sorry. I just had to say
he'd be
really
a
hot.
Perfect dog. Yeah, that's a good dog.
He's so hot.
He already seems like an alien. It would work. I'd be all
yeah,
right. I'd
true.
I'd be all around the Dinklage. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And
we should start that somehow to make it happen.
I think it's a conversation that is going to continue to go on because it is obviously erupted in the Twitterverse as well. I would like to say
that I don't think a woman is more controversial than a man, though. Than a person of color. Than a person of color. That's a man. That's just like a white woman. Like if they had kept Donna as a doctor, as a white woman, I do not think that would be more controversial than like a black man.
I think it would be.
Or a person of color.
I think it would be.
Can I retract what I said and just say I think it would be equally offensive to
Yeah, some. I think it would be equally offensive too.
Maybe I got a little too hyperbolic there, but I do think that people would flip out about that just as much as if it were a person of color or, you know, Johnny Depp or, you know, I agree.
Nerds get mad sensitive.
They do. I think maybe they should just not mess with the formula. It's worked so far.
But nobody flipped out when Donna was a Time Lord. Like, nobody was upset about it. Like, I didn't see any backlash.
That's because it wasn't,
It was also the very last part of an episode.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was not a permanent thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it also wasn't just all like, you know, okay, boom, there's a chick, deal with it. You know, it was part of the story, you know?
Right.
And I'm sure people freaked out about it. We just don't know about it because it's not like you, like, seeked it out. You know what I mean? Like, oh, is anyone talking junk about this? I'm sure people still freaked out about that one portion.
I'm sure they did. Well, but, you know, again, I think because it was self-contained in an episode, you know, maybe I'm sure there are those, you know, posts up there on the internet, oh, that was stupid. I'm glad they didn't make that last. But, you know, at the same time, it was self-contained.
What about this then? What if they did someone that would, like, or made the doctor regenerate to, like, a teenager? Like, would you think that would resonate with people, or does it have to be someone that's, like, 30 and above?
Well,
like,
the doctor keeps getting younger and younger. He does. I mean, look at it. Matt Smith is younger than me, which, you know, makes me feel depressed as all get out. But, you know,
would that resonate with people, or would it be something that they're just, like, they can't handle that? Like, is that something that would be
saying,
something?
If they did it correctly, I think they could handle it. But if they went from Matt Smith to, you know, Justin Bieber, I think there'd be riots in the street.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
That's, like, the worst name you could, like, definitely do. Like, the worst name to ever pick.
Really?
No, definitely not. Not Justin Bieber.
If there's a progression to it, say that the next doctor after Matt Smith is, you know, 23, 24, okay? Say that happens. And then we can see this clearly discernible line of the doctors getting younger and younger and younger and younger, then I could see people accepting. And if you get to the point where the doctor's, you know, like, you know, spitting out catchphrases and riding a skateboard and stuff like that, they might not like it. But if they handle it respectfully and stuff like that, I don't really see a problem with it because there is a very clear line of the doctor getting younger with each of his regenerations.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be a conversation that is definitely not going to be over, particularly just when you're dealing with people's long-lasting institutions. But I know, thank you so much for calling in, because this has been an amazing commentary.
Thank you, Renee.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Renee,
I'm going to,
thank
you
so
just,
much.
You can just me. I keep listening.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
So I know we have, 10 minutes left?
Doctor Who got real serious on this podcast.
It really did.
We should do a part two.
And gender lines real quick. Did you want to go into Orphan Black and talk about the Nerdist at all? I think we can skip the Nerdist.
Yeah, we can sneak it in real quick. So I know Geek Soul Brother watches Orphan Black. Saturday's episode was really intense. Huge twist. Best episode of the season, I have to say. What did you think about Saturday's episode?
Yeah, I thought it was Jamie, it just gets better and better with each episode.
I know.
It hasn't it hasn't let up at all. I can't even call one episode a filler episode. Maybe there was one with a little bit of, you know, lightheartedness in it. But for anybody that's listening and is not watching Orphan Black, and if you guys are Who fans and you're turning the channel after Who, and you're missing Orphan Black, you're doing self a disservice. You're doing yourself an injustice.
Well, okay, so I try to watch it, like I try to watch it randomly, and it didn't make sense for me. So with that in mind, you should watch it from the beginning, because I had no
idea what the hell was happening.
I'm like, what is this? Who is this person? Yeah. I don't even know what the, like, the basis of it is. I'm like, what is, I don't understand. So you have to watch it from the absolute beginning.
And
right.
It's definitely
a long form story that
right.
goes from episode to episode. It's not episodic.
I can't jump into shows. I mean, for me, if I haven't caught
sometimes
a show
I can,
the beginning,
but not with this.
I can't because I don't know. I like to see the details, and sometimes the first episodes provide a lot of backstory that you don't see in the latter episodes. But mm-hmm. Orphan Black is definitely one of those shows where you do have to watch it from the beginning, otherwise you'll get confused.
Because I had no clue what was happening. I'm like, I don't know. I tried, like, from the episode that I started at, and I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you, like, what it's about. Like, honestly, I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, basically, for those that are listening, Orphan Black is a show that has to deal with cloning. Tatiana Maslany, who is the best actress on the planet Earth, who better win an Emmy for this show, plays
basically.
What is it? She plays, what, six clones, I think?
She plays, like, 12 or 13.
12 or 13? Okay, because some of them have been killed off. Some of them haven't been discovered yet. And basically these clones, there's someone out there that is killing these clones one by one, and she's trying to figure out who's doing it. The last episode sort of ended where we find out that she's related to one of the clones, that they're twins. Tatiana Maslany and her clones, they're white, and come to find out her mom is black. So that threw me off a little bit, but it really did. She was like, she's from somewhere in Africa. But it,
so she's like legit, like black from Africa.
She ain't even faking it. She's black.
The real black. I wanted to ask too, do you think that Sarah and Helena, do you think that they're the real clones? The originals?
The original?
Yeah.
No. I don't think they're going to reveal that till like season two. I don't think we'll see the original until like season two or three or something like that. I think all these guys are clones. I'm curious why Sarah is different. Sarah's the main protagonist of the show, and there's something different about her. That in her genes that I don't know how much you want to spoil it, Jamie, but
I won't spoil it too much because people on Twitter are saying don't spoil, but
well, the first episode shows that she has a kid.
Okay.
And you know basically that's an issue with the clones and stuff like that. That's
right.
As much as I'll say about that, but yeah, there's something there. They just keep expanding the science of it. Like, at first, you're like, okay, who's a clone, who's not? Why is Sarah just finding out about this? She's basically a protagonist that's been on the, not on the street, but she's been hustling throughout life, and she's kind of like a street person, you know, just trying to do her little cons and getting into, you know, deals with shiesty people and stuff. And all of a sudden, she finds out that these clones are out there for her. And all of a sudden, she finds out that there's bigger issues and conspiracies and stuff. But I don't think she's the original clone. In fact, I don't even want her to be the original clone.
The only reason I would suspect that she's the original is because she's the only clone with a kid. That's why that was my suspicion as to why she could be the original. But she's now related to Helena. So maybe there's more to the science behind who's the original. But
I think she's an anomaly. There's also in this show, for you guys that are listening, there's it's not just clones that they're dealing with, but something called neolution, which is basically a new way of directing the evolution of man. And that's a big thing behind the science of, or behind the mystery of this whole clone thing. Why are they clones? Who's after them? You know, who knows about them? Why didn't anybody know about Sarah? Stuff like that, you know.
Right. So,
good show.
A great show, guys. Yeah, you Doctor Who fans. I know y'all are completely not even listening to us right now.
You're still here.
The Doctor Who co-hosts have muted. They've become silent. Twitter has just stopped.
They're crocheting their Tom Baker's scarves. Yeah.
Right. But
talk
it's all
about
good.
It, but I haven't seen it.
It's a great show. You guys got to tune in. Real quick, we got about 4 minutes left. The Nerdist, anybody want to discuss the show? Anybody like it, hate it?
I know Bert Olive was definitely saying they loved it.
Notice the disdain in my tone of voice. Sorry. Continue.
You know what bothers me about the Nerdist the most is that they get these wonderful guests on there, and they sit there playing games with them instead of asking them how they come up with their wonderful ideas or their acting, or, you know, they have a chance to interview with them, and they play these silly games. That's the one thing I don't like.
I have to say, don't watch a show, listen to the podcast.
Seconded.
That's really good advice. Like, I have never listened to the podcast.
That's my take on everything about it. Like, tried and it was awful, and the podcast is fantastic. So if you're going to pick anything, listen to the podcast.
Yeah, the podcast is one of the best podcasts on the internet. The show is filler in between better shows. I mean, it could get good, but they haven't found a niche yet, and I'm kind of getting tired of it.
Yep.
And I also suspect that they pay their audience members. And I'm not saying that to be facetious, but seriously, like, I've worked in television. There are shows that pay audience members to be there. I feel like they do that because the stand-up comedians at the end of the show are some of the most worst comedians I've ever heard of.
I've been on a lot of shows, and I agree with you, because I've been on some that pay and some that are, like, free, you know, like, you just show up
right,
and whatever. And always the ones that I've got paid for were, like, awful. Like, this is the worst process ever. But the free ones are always fun, so I agree with you.
Okay. And I think they need to have more black folks on the show, or at least a black person on an episode.
All
but, you know,
people.
We've had that conversation, right, Geek Soul Brother?
Yes, we have.
We've had that conversation
before.
In fact,
let me post a link.
So, had a Twitter feud with Chris Hardwick of the Nerdist.
Really?
About a month?
Oh, my. I didn't know about this. I missed that action.
Yeah. He was defending the show, and I just thought that there's, you know, a lack of people of color there, and that was a concern for me. A couple other people.
I love Chris Hardwick, too. Shame on him.
I love him. I love
him. I met him, and he said that we had a Martha Doctor connection. I just want to put that up.
That's cute. That's precious.
It's cute, but I was like, damn, but, like, I really don't like Martha. Is it just because I'm black?
He, like, mentioned it. He's like, oh, you're brown. I'll talk about this.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible.
Well, we got about a minute and a half left in the show, so I just want to wrap it up. I do want to say thank you, guys. This was a great podcast. We definitely got to do a part two to Doctor Who. I mean, obviously, there's a lot
of... Once I watch more of it.
Yeah, and maybe I should watch an episode. But... but thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you to our special guest, Geek Soul Brother, Uncle Aaron. You guys gave out your shout outs at the beginning of the show, so thank you. Thank you to Angelique for steering the ship tonight. You did an excellent job.
You did an awesome job, Angelique.
Yay. For you.
And thank you to our co-host, Jamila from Girl Gone Geek Blog and LaTanya from Sprinkles and Booze. Thank you, girls. Next week, our episode, which it was the most controversial podcast last month about interracial dating, so controversial that we have spawned a part two.
Yay!
So next week, 2-hour podcast. That will be the last Monday night that we'll have a podcast going forward. Starting June 9th, our podcasts will be on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We will air right after the Cinema and Noir podcast, so listen to them at 6 o'clock and then listen to us at 7 o'clock and tune in to Black Girl Nerds. Tomorrow night, you'll hear this same podcast on Urban Soul Radio, www.urbansoulradio.fm. Thank you guys for listening in. Appreciate it. Take care, everybody.